Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future, which have been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're welcoming back Ray DeFranco. He is a songwriter, a rock singer. He has done with a bunch of rock bands. He's a legendary in Atlanta, but probably around the world too. Hi, Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for that nice introduction. Hello, world.
Hello, Ray.
I don't know if I'm that legendary, though, but I appreciate the sentiment. But, hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? How's it going?
It's good. I have a giant salted caramel latte just for this occasion. I actually drink it all the time.
Wow.
There's a great cafe here that I go to that I discovered, and that has the best coffee in the world. So that's what I'm doing. You're ready to chat.
Is it a real coffee house where people sit and they talk to each other, or is it like most of the coffee houses where people stare at their phones or their laptops or their other stuff?
Yeah, it's kind of more like that. It's sort of like that. It's not really well known. That's what I like about it. It's kind of a secret. This family from Iran runs it, and they're really sweet. And so I'm friends with them, but I haven't really... people are weird in coffee houses, I guess. They're on their computers, they're doing whatever they're doing.
I always find it weird, you know, you go into a coffee house and you have all these people around you that you can meet new people and chat and everything, but you can't because they're all staring at their devices.
Yeah, I know. It's how it is,
Bad.
If you said hello, they would probably freak out. And think you're weird, that's kind of sad, actually. Sad commentary on Ray, but...
That's how you used to meet people. You used to meet people by going to places like that, you know? It's harder
most
to
of people,
friend.
Go ahead. Yeah, most people I know, I guess I met.
If you're new to a place, it's hard to make friends.
Yeah, that's true. I moved a lot when I was a kid, so I know all about that. It would take me 3 years to make a friend, and then when I would make one, my parents would be like, oh, we got to move again. You made a friend, you know. And I would be crushed because I was like, then I had to leave the friend I made, you know. So
I know. But, I did the same thing, Ray. We moved a lot. And not because it wasn't because we made friends, but it just that was the kind of thing, you know. My dad was in the military, he was a salesman, but we moved a lot, so. Yeah, I never stayed in the same place more than 3 years my entire young life until I moved to my own apartment, then I stayed in the same place. But other than that, before that, I always was moving.
Yeah, I know. My father traveled for a living, so we would pick him up he would come home on the weekend. And so the most exciting day for me was Friday. We'd pick him up at the airport. And I had this love for airports. And I had the love of the jet fuel. I love the smell of it. That's kind of crazy, but I was, you know, I was like, I love the smell of jet fuel in the morning, except it was Friday night. And, I still kind of like it, even though it's really horrible and gives me a headache and probably really dangerous. But
and bad for you.
And some reason, the airports, I guess they cleaned them up because they don't really smell like that. In the 70s, they were probably just like, yeah, whatever, and just, I don't know. But,
well, it's just like with the catalytic converters, the cars don't smell as bad as they used to when we were kids.
Maybe I should get an air freshener for my car that smells like jet fuel. So yeah. I can relive those days. No, it must have been something to do with my father coming home. I don't know. Psychologically or something. I don't know.
Well,
I don't have to do that anymore.
Smells are very important for memories. You can actually encourage a memory with a smell. Like, I was reading this article where they were saying that a psychiatrist will be talking to their patient, and in order to encourage a memory of someone who they need to talk about, they would find out what, like, their cologne was or their perfume, and he would have them close their eyes and at a certain point take a little sample of it and put it under their nose, and the memories would start pouring out. So smell's really important.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess back to coffee houses, I guess the smell of coffee is kind of comforting too. Maybe that's why people go. They're like, oh, they're all upset, and they have to leave their house and go smell coffee and drink coffee. I don't know. Just a theory.
I think it actually has memories for people. Maybe not going to the coffee house, but actually memories like of your home. Coming home and smelling coffee being made for the morning for breakfast, or day breakfast, or some brunch, or something like that. And it's interesting psychologically.
That's true. Yeah, I know. How do we get that talking about this? What are we talking about?
I don't know. That's the way conversations go. I'm going to play one of your songs, okay?
Okay, I was just curious because I always forget what we're talking about. But, okay, that's cool.
Hold on. We were talking about how the smell of jet fuel reminded you of your dad coming home on Friday night. That's where it came from.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Hold on.
Around the same time, it's close. I never actually went there, but I know about it. and all my friends that grew up in Atlanta would tell me that when they were kids, they would go to this world of Sid and Marty Krofft. It was like, it was pretty much like one of their TV shows, and it was pretty, it was very spaced out.
Well, I understand that because when I was a kid, when I lived in L.A., there was a place, there was a huge Anheuser-Busch plant, and they used to give a tour through the plant, and they had what they called Busch Gardens. This was before any rides or anything like that. They had animals. They had like a petting zoo, and they had a tour. And then you went and you pet the animals, and they had gardens that you walked around. It was we loved it. It was like we go there at least once a month during the summer because it was so much fun. And then they ruined it by putting rides and costing a fortune and everything. And then it went out of business.
Right.
But it was there for years and years before they did that. It was so much fun.
You know why I think it was so much fun? Because I think they gave beer to the kids, being Anheuser-Busch, and you didn't know
beer.
It.
We got root beer. Parents got beer. We got root beer.
Root beer, but it had real beer in it. So you didn't know that, but no, I don't know. I've heard of that theme park, but yeah, that's funny.
It was really interesting that you learned how they make beer. There was like big glass things, and you looked down and you saw how they make beer. It was very educational.
Wow. I didn't get to go to anything like that. I think we took a field trip once to because I lived in Pennsylvania for a while. My parents are from Philadelphia. I lived there for a while. But they had a cider place where they would smash all the apples and make apple cider. And we go there in the fall. It was really cool. And then we get to drink it. Yeah, it wasn't quite Busch Gardens, but it was pretty exciting.
Are you still
excited? I do like cider, yeah.
I do too.
I always like quoting.
No, I'm not a big beer person, but I do like cider. That's all I was going to say.
Well, you know, I actually have celiac disease where I can't do wheat or gluten or beer or anything. I mean, not because it's cool or trendy or healthy for you. It's because I literally can't do it. Yeah. So, and I don't really drink anymore, but you know, I can have cider and gluten-free beer if I desire, if I have a craving. So, but anyway, you were talking about the moon landing.
Oh, right. I was going to actually segue to that. We're both space fans, and Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and why can't I ever remember the third guy?
Michael Collins. See, I know.
Thank you.
He's my favorite.
Michael Collins. Sorry, Michael Collins, if you're still around.
he was the cool one because he didn't get to go to the moon. Without him, they would be stuck on the moon.
He was the cool guy.
I mean, everyone liked Neil Armstrong, but, you know, what about the guy that didn't get to, you know, be on the moon? He had to float around,
like,
wait for now.
Yeah, he's just kind of bored watching the guys on the screen.
Yeah, I know.
Just like Jim Lovell, he went up to the moon. He went up to the moon twice, and he never got to the moon. The first time he wasn't supposed to, and the second time
he got lost.
Apollo 13.
He couldn't find it.
It was Apollo 8 where they did
back.
A finger ramp to the moon,
yeah.
and he saw the moon, but the second time he didn't get to go because of what happened on Apollo 13.
He could have stayed here and seen the moon, but he's an astronaut, so he had to go do that.
But it's so much closer. You get to see the Earth rise. And
oh,
everything.
Yeah. He had a better view. It was like HD or something of the moon. Yeah, I have I have a relative that was on, he was in the Navy, and he was one of the aircraft carriers that picked up the Apollo 13 astronaut, the one that had the problem. And he sent me pictures, 8x10 photos that I still have, black and white photos of when they picked them up. They're probably worth some money. But I didn't really know what happened all that when I was younger, but now I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. But I'm a pack rat, I keep
it. They made it home, that they made it, that they were picked up by that carrier and they made it home, that's a big deal. Because they could have been stuck in space, you know, or they could have been on the, they said if it happened in a different place, and they made it to the moon, there would have been nothing NASA could have done. They would have been stuck on the moon.
And they had to get them back so they could make a movie about it. So there's that, too, you know. It's like, we must save these astronauts.
They had to get them back to their families.
About it.
Not a big test.
Starring Tom Hanks in the 90s. We got to get them back. That's the future.
What's the name of the Michael J. Fox character from Back to the Future?
I don't know. I only saw that movie once, and I can't remember his name.
Anyway, that guy's going to be, no, you got to bring him back.
But I will say this.
Tom Hanks movie on the way.
Yeah. I had no idea. My daughter had to point this out to me that the old guy in Back to the Future was Reverend Jim in Taxi. I was because I love Reverend Jim, but I never connected the two. And she's like, "Dad, you're an idiot." That's the same guy.
Oh, really?
Like,
no.
No, I really didn't know. And I'm a huge Reverend. I love Taxi. It's one of my favorite shows. So I'm still kind of, my head's still spinning about that.
I mean, to me, his voice is obvious when he talked as in Back to the Future and Reverend Jim. It's the same voice.
Well, I think part of the reason I didn't know is I'm a little bit like Reverend Jim. So, you know, I forget things and, you know. So, yeah, anyway, I still think that's funny. And I forget about it, but thanks for reminding me. Thanks for reminding myself. I don't know. Back to the Future. But I was upset about, I didn't like the Chuck Berry scene. I didn't like Michael J. Fox playing the guitar. Because I'm a big Chuck Berry fan, and I'm like, no, Michael J. Fox should not play, even pretend he's playing the guitar. Just because. He was fine in the movie up to that.
Even though it was a character, not really J. Fox, right?
I know. You know me. I take it all just too seriously, I guess. I'm like, oh my God, he's playing, faking like he's playing guitar. It's so upsetting. But I'm sure a lot of people enjoyed it, so I don't want to ruin it for them.
I understand. Because you're a musician. And one of the things
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say one of the movies I love is an old movie with Danny Kaye called A Song Is Born. And they have a lot of musicians in it. But one of the musicians actually played a part. And you know what? He did a good job. He was brilliant. Benny Goodman. He played a character. I mean, a complete character. He acted. And it was really well. Did you ever see it?
I may have, but it doesn't ring a bell. So, you know, I really like old movies. I've seen most of them. I usually just leave TCM on TV, you know. So I probably have seen it, but I guess the name doesn't ring a bell. Like I don't recall it.
Danny,
I will definitely check it out.
Danny Kaye is a professor And there's other people like Essie Sakal, and there are other people that are all professors, and Benny Goodman is one of the professors, and they're writing a musical encyclopedia. It's a takeoff from the movie with Gary Cooper. I can't remember the name of the original movie, but it's the same thing. The Gary Cooper movie was about making a dictionary, and the Danny Kaye movie is about making a musical encyclopedia and finding out that he's supposed to be doing modern music and he never heard of jazz. And the best part is that Benny Goodman, the great Benny Goodman, plays a schmo who doesn't know anything about jazz.
Wow. That sounds familiar. It sounds like I had seen it.
It's a fun movie, though. It's really fun. But, I mean, that's one of my favorite. I mean, it has Louis Armstrong, Jimmy Dorsey. I mean, pretty Lionel Hampton. I'm trying to remember everybody. Those are the ones I can remember. But some of the greatest musicians, really, some of the greatest musicians ever were in that movie.
Right. That sounds right up my alley, so I'll have to definitely check it out. I mean, like I said, I may have seen it, but being like Reverend Jim, I probably forgot that I've seen it, so I will have to revisit it.
You have to see it. You just have to, because it's just, first of all, it's a fun movie. It's really, if you love music and you love jazz and swing music and all that, and it has a little blues in it and has all the different kinds of music from that period, the 40s.
Right.
It's just amazing. Just watching Lionel Hampton do his thing and Louis Armstrong, and it's so much fun. And then watching Benny Goodman trying to play his clarinet as a jazz musician, and he's trying to keep the beat with his leg. You gotta watch that scene, because I'm not gonna tell you anymore, but it is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will check it out, definitely. I was last night. I watched some of the Rolling Thunder review. The new, I guess it's Scorsese or something. It was on Netflix. The Dylan kind of documentary on the Rolling Thunder review. It was pretty fascinating, I guess, because, I mean, I know about it all, but, like, I haven't seen a lot of footage with sound and all that of that tour. So it was cool. I did fall asleep, like, halfway through it, not because it was boring, only because I was tired. I'm going to watch the rest tonight. I wanted to say, because I really like rock movies that are any kind of music films, especially rock films that have people playing like a musician. For some reason, I always have to have the real person. This goes back to the Michael J. Fox thing, but I don't know why. And like, I'm a big Queen fan. I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, and I thought the guy was really good as Freddie Mercury, and it was a pretty good film. The story was good, but, like, the timing and stuff was, like, completely off. They would have him in costumes from 73 with a song from the 80s, you know. And I don't know if they did that on purpose to be weird, or if they just didn't know and the continuity person was clueless and, you know. So I find that fascinating. I was like, wait, this is a good story, but the visuals are all messed up, so. But
really? Because I think got nominated for costume.
Yeah, I'm sure the costumes are fine, but, like, I think the time period they were wearing them and the song they were playing, they were, like, completely wrong, you know. And only a big Queen fan would probably know, you know. But I saw those guys, like, three times, like, the original Queen. And it was a good film. I just, like, stuff like that just drives me crazy, like, lighting in films is, like, off or, you know, I don't know. I think has something to do with it is, like, I kind of make films myself, so, and I edit and whatnot, so.
Are you going to see Rocketman?
Well, it's like the same movie. When I went to see the Queen movie, the preview was the Elton John movie. It looked like the same movie. I was like, wait a minute, is this a thing now? You know, it's like, it seemed okay, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'll
well,
just see that one.
Well, he was part of it. I mean, Elton was one of, I think he's one of the producers, so at least it should be correct about the clothes and
well,
things, because if the producer, it should be, that part should be correct.
I'm going to go ask Elton because he lives in Atlanta, and I've actually, this is a totally musician job, but I used to deliver food, right? And I delivered food to Elton's apartment before. He lives right on Peachtree Street in the south. But he wasn't there, and the movie wasn't made yet. But if it was, I would have asked him, hey, what do you think about this movie? And what do you think about the time frame? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Is everybody's clothes right?
Yeah, it's like, it just bugged me because they were doing, like, Fat Bottom Girls or something, but they had the outfits that they wore in, when, like, Killer Queen came out, you know? And I was like, wait a minute. And I don't know if they were doing it for effect. I think they might have been. But maybe they just didn't know. But when I make my Queen movie, it's going to be right. So
yeah.
Not that, I'm not making a Queen movie, though, because they already did one.
I'm going to play another one of your songs. This one happens to be my favorite.
I don't know. It's a tribute to her, you know.
Do you think she knows?
I don't know, but if anybody here knows Tina Louise, or if Tina, you're listening, this is a homage to you. So look at it in that positive light.
Be in the light. Stay in the light.
Stay in the light. Keep the red hair. Somebody actually said to me, what, you have no love for who played Marianne, Donna Loran?
Don Wells.
Don Wells, okay. And I was like, sure, she's fine too, but Tina Louise just made a better song title, so.
Maybe
so there you go.
Maybe it has, because it has the and the S, the Tina and Louise. It's easy to rhyme with things.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And Don Wells.
I had to write it around.
But not that.
Yeah, wouldn't it work? So, yeah, I don't know. But I've been writing a lot more, so I don't currently have. That came off the last recording I released, which is called Tunnel Visions. This came out like last year. So I've been writing a whole lot recently. I just haven't recorded this stuff yet. It's all demoed, but I haven't sat down, gone to a proper studio and recorded, which is probably going to be the next thing I do. I don't know where or when, but kind of been in the works, but I kind of like to get the demos like really, really perfect the way I want them to be. Because I'm really influenced by Pete Townsend. He used to do that. Like, his demos are, sometimes they're better than what the band did, you know. They're just like these perfect demos, and then he'd give them to the band, you know, and they'd make it be like The Who, and, you know. So anyway, that's what I've been doing. In case you were going to ask.
I wasn't going to ask yet, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been trying to save the world too, but sometimes I feel like that's a losing battle. I'm like, hey, just let the world, let it end, you know. I don't know, I'm tired of it, you know. I think
you
because I did, I've been doing, what's that?
I said, do you have a cape? Because you said you were trying to save the world, you know, like cape, like Superman.
Oh, well, I will tell you this, that if you don't have a cape, that a bathroom towel works great. You just put it on and pretend it's a cape. Because I spent most of my childhood doing that, pretending I was Batman. And any of my relatives will tell you, that's how they know me. So, yeah, and maybe now sometimes I just put on a towel and, you know, wander around the mall. You know, they might arrest me, but that's okay. I'd still be a superhero, even in jail. So
I think that's funny. And it's adorable. No, I mean, we all did that. We all did stuff like that. I mean, I remember.
Yeah, we had nothing better
to do. Because I tried to jump from my bed so I could fly like Wonder Woman. No, it was Isis. From the show Isis. She used to fly.
Yeah. Didn't she have the invisible... That was Wonder Woman, right? The invisible plane?
Yeah, Wonder Woman had the invisible plane.
That's pretty cool. It's like, but how would
yeah,
you
I
find
think
it if it was visible? You'd
that's
be like,
right.
You'd always
how
be
would
losing
you
your...
even know where it is? But I guess because she's Wonder
that's
Woman.
That's what made her wonderful is like, she could find invisible planes, you know. Like, not anybody can do that.
I think they did that very well for the TV series with Linda Carter, the invisible plane.
Oh, yeah, she was great. And she didn't even, did she wear a cape?
It looked like a plane that just happened to be invisible.
And that's before they had, like, the CGI. How did they do that? It was real. That's what it was. Everything
it
is
was,
real. Everything you see is real.
It was actually Wonder Woman. Linda Carter is Wonder Woman. She just isn't letting anyone know it. That's what it is.
Wait, you mean now I have to write a song about her? Okay. It's getting out of control. I had to do a whole album of, like, songs about 60s women. She was 70s, but that's okay. 60s and 70s are basically all the same to me, you know. It didn't change until 1980, officially. It was like, okay. And then that's when the dial changed. It was like, okay, everything's different now. And then I think
that's
it changed
true.
Again in 1990. 1990, they changed the channel again. It was like, well, maybe 85. I don't know. I have these weird theories. But you were saying that you used to jump around from bed to bed or whatever?
No,
well,
I used to have a canopy bed, which I could have broken it, broken my leg. But, yeah, I used to try to jump off my bed so I could be like, you know, Isis, wind, take me away, blah, 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 just like the character in the TV series.
Did it work, or did you just, like, end up, like, jumping on the bed and you'd be like, ugh.
In my imagination.
That's what matters. Well, that's all that matters, imagination, so.
I landed up on the floor.
There you go. But, yeah, I had a game that I used to play where I would try to turn the light off and get in the bed before the light is off, which is, I think, physically impossible. But I still tried. And I used to tell my sister, hey, I can turn this light switch off and be in bed before the light goes off. And I think she just thought I was crazy. She still thinks I'm crazy, so.
To my dolls and my stuffed animals from my records. Like, I like the Carpenters. I know that's pretty square, but I love the Carpenters.
Are great.
I love the Carpenters. I was such a big fan of Karen Carpenter.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate them as much at the time, but I had a teacher that on Mondays, she would play Rainy Days and Mondays. Like, she had a record player in the classroom. And it was kind of funny, I guess. At the time, I thought it was kind of weird because I was like, shouldn't you be teaching us? But I guess she was teaching us about the Carpenters. So, yeah, but now I really like the Carpenters now. Not so much then. I think it was too going on then, you know. I was like, when your teachers find the Carpenters, you can't like them, you know. So, well, you can, because it's like, she was like the old person in the room, you know.
I just always liked the music. In fact, I had this, we had a class, we had Glee, which was, you know, singing group for school.
Mm-hmm.
But we also had a class for Glee class, and she made it into music appreciation, the lady who was our teacher. And that's the class I was in, I think it was sixth grade. I learned about Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, Tchaikovsky. I mean, she taught us real classic music. She goes, I want you to understand where music came from. We were really little in my head. I mean, I wasn't, but really in reality we were. But I think we all soaked it up. Because I still remember learning about all that, even though it wasn't part of the requirements for, it was a Glee class. It was just supposed to be learning the songs for that month's concert. But she taught us about classical music.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. It was fun, too.
Yeah,
she's a lot of fun.
Carpenter. Yeah. Definitely. So,
did you have, like, teacher like that?
I had a few teachers I liked, but I'm trying to think of the teacher that expanded my horizons or something. I'm trying to remember who that might be. I guess I had one teacher that used to let us listen to the radio. Most of it was music related, and that was cool because it was like, I guess that's the first time I heard like Bohemian Rhapsody, the song, was in this class. This is about 1975. I lived in Chicago, and I kind of went to open school, which was like hippy-dippy open. There were no walls and stuff. It was experimental. It was like high school. You would go to different classes. They had bells, and it was very confusing at the time. But I think we had like a woodchop class, which I actually learned a whole lot in. Like, I could make lamps and stuff. But he would leave the radio on, and we'd hear all these cool songs like Sweet and Queen and ELO and whatever else was happening in 1975. I do remember that it got really quiet when the Donna Summer song Love to Love You Baby came on, because I guess I was in like fourth or fifth grade, so we were like, what is going on with this? And I think we liked it, but we didn't really know what to make out of it. So, yeah, I have all these memories.
The disco era apart, but if you look at some of the singers from the disco era, they were really accomplished.
Mhm. Yeah, I love disco now. Like, it's another thing at the time that I didn't like as much, but you know, now I'm like, I always thought Casey and the Sunshine Band a lot. I thought they had good songs. And I know Talking Heads really liked them as well. There was some quote like talking about the difference between us and the Sex Pistols is we like Casey and the Sunshine Band. I always thought that was a cool quote.
That is cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I had an argument with someone when I was 12, because my favorite singer was Neil Diamond, and they said he's not cool. I go, are you kidding? He was super cool, and we had this huge fight because I can't even remember who he was, whoever was the hot singer at the time. And we had this huge fight over it. I still love Neil Diamond.
Yeah, well, did you tell him Neil Diamond was the hot August night, Neil Diamond?
Yeah, I mean, so. I told him that he was the one who he did all the stuff from the Monkees, the music from the Monkees and stuff. And they're like, oh, he didn't. I go, yeah, he did. Look at the credits. I had already my parents to look at credits.
That's funny. I have a friend who worked for Neil doing his lights for like years. He's told me a lot of great stories about Neil, like how cool he is and stuff. And then in Atlanta, they had a couple Neil Diamond bands that would cover Neil Diamond songs, but they were doing them all crazy. Like, they had two different names. They were called the Hot August Nights, and then they changed their name to the Nine Inch Neils, which I think is brilliant. and a friend of mine played drums in that.
He was he still is. He's an incredible singer. So it's hard to not like him, as far as I know.
Yeah, and the first time I saw him, I just could not stop laughing because they had this really small guy that played Neil, and he acted just like him. It would just make you laugh out loud. And the way he did it, they used to do Coming to America or whatever, and it would just make you crack up, you know. It was funny.
Ray, we're coming to the end. Do you have any kind of events or anything coming up that you want to say before we go?
Well, just look out for new music from me. My website's www.raydafrico.com. Anything else, any shows or anything I'm doing will come up there. it looks like I was going to be doing a couple of shows in the Northeast. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but that would be the end of July. They might get pushed back a little bit to the early fall. But like I said, if you like my stuff, check out my website or my Facebook page. And I usually try to keep it updated if I can. So, but yeah, thanks for having me on. And yeah, we'll do it again sometime.
Oh, before we go, I want you to give out your, if you have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of those, do you have any of those that you want to give out so people can say hi?
Well, the Facebook would just be under my name, Ray Dafrico, D-A-F-R-I-C-O, is how you spell it. I have a Twitter, but I never get on there. Instagram, I think I have one of those too, but I don't really understand it.
No,
yeah, I just can't. Like, well, I can put pictures up. I'm going to put all pictures of me. No, I don't really get on Instagram, but Facebook or my, or sometimes I do Twitter stuff, but, or my website is the best way to, you know, find me or listen to my stuff or whatever.
Okay, great. Instead of my normal music, I'm going to play out with Ray's song Junkie Monday. So I want to thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for chatting. You're welcome. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.